This is The State of Things. I'm Melinda Pencava. 3 weeks were not enough. Earlier this month, state lawmakers voted for a stopgap spending bill to keep state government running for 3 weeks while they sorted out the budget. Now that deadline is coming up again, and the lawmakers have again sought an extension, this time a 2-week extension to keep state government going. And once again, the lawmakers have before them that budget. There are differences between the state House and Senate about a number of funding issues, such as education, health care, state employee pay raises. Meanwhile, the legislature continues to debate new lobbying disclosure laws, and there is that moratorium on the death penalty. Here to help us sort out what is going on in the North Carolina General Assembly is Laura Leslie, North Carolina Public Radio's Capitol reporter. Hi there, Laura.
Hi, Melinda.
Hi. Well, the House has voted to extend that stopgap spending bill to keep state government going while they continue to sort out the budget, the House and Senate. How much longer can they keep extending that stopgap? That gap seems to be getting longer and longer.
Technically, they can go on doing this as long as they want to. And in 2001, I think it went through November before they actually had the final budget, or maybe it was late October. But they can go on doing this as long as they want to. But they keep setting it short because they say they feel like having the shorter deadlines at 3 weeks instead of, like, you know, 5 or 6 exerts more pressure on them to get it done. But so far, obviously, it hasn't been working.
Right. We all work better on deadlines, but sometimes we don't meet them. So what are the real sticking points right now?
That depends who you talk to. Some folks say that the real sticking points, the major sticking points, have to do with the proposed hike in the cigarette tax. The House wants a 25-cent hike. The Senate wants a 35-cent hike. You'd think they could just come to some common ground, maybe around 30, but that's not what's happening. And the House leadership says that they just don't have the votes to pass anything more than a 25-cent increase. So that's one big sticking point. Another really big sticking point is state employee salary raises. How to do it, whether you do it as a percentage, you get 2% or a flat amount of, say, $1,000. The two chambers have some differences on that, too, and that's what's apparently – that's what people are saying is hanging everything up. But what we're hearing from other people is that it's – the problem is top to bottom, that they're at a real standstill on everything from how much to spend to where to spend it to where to get the money.
Now, is this a philosophical difference at play here, coming out in the details, or what's behind the differences then?
I think you're right in terms of it being philosophical, although also partly pragmatic and partly political. The Senate is interested in putting a lot more money toward education and giving businesses a bit of a break. The House is interested not in not funding education, but they're interested in making sure that health and human services are funded adequately as well. And so, you know, we've got some different priorities that are coming to a head and behind closed doors in the conference committee.
Any end in sight to this? Are we going to be back talking with you 2 weeks from now about yet another extension on the stopgap budget?
If I had to guess, I'd say yes. And I hate to prognosticate. It's pretty dangerous in this business. But what I'm hearing is that there is not a lot of progress being made, that people are just sort of folding their arms and saying, this is what I can give you and nothing else. And so it's difficult to know at this point what it will take to shake it loose, to make things start to happen. And the governor's been trying to do that. Actually, the governor has the ability, when they don't come up with a budget, to start spending money by executive order. And so he's threatening to do that for a couple of his programs that he wants to see funded, More at Four and the Leandro lawsuit. That's for disadvantaged kids in poor communities and poor school districts. And the governor is saying that he will start issuing some executive orders to spend that money. And if he does that, that may be what it takes to kick these folks into getting something done here.
In other words, you'd have a rallying of the troops in the legislature saying they could see eye to eye finally, because it would be them against the executive branch there.
Sometimes that's what it takes.
Indeed. So other work is going on in the legislature, among them a bill to reform lobbying or have more transparency in the way lobbying is carried out in North Carolina.
North Carolina has one of the most lax lobbying laws in the nation, mostly due to what's called the goodwill exception, which means that, say, you're a legislator and I'm a lobbyist. You know, I could fly you to Fiji, treat you to a beautiful dinner and a wonderful weekend, and not report any of it as long as I didn't talk about House Bills or Senate Bill 612. A specific piece of legislation. And the argument is that you're building goodwill, so you shouldn't have to report that. Well, everybody realizes that that gets abused on a regular basis. And so both of the proposals that they're looking at would get rid of that loophole, which is good news if you're a voter advocacy or transparency person, you know. But there's other things that they want to change, too. They want to make the legislative lobbyists report on a monthly basis. And they also want to set up what's called a no-gift registry, where a lawmaker could come into Raleigh and say, I don't want any of the little tchotchkes, the little goodies that they come and hand out, you know, around the offices, the pencil holders, the hats, whatever. There are people who really wanted to see a cap on what a lobbyist could spend on a legislator per session. But it looks like that may be too much of a change to expect to pass this session. So right now they're going for more reporting and more transparency and hoping that when lobbyists have to write down everything they spend on everybody, that will serve to cool off the amount of money that flows through the halls here at the legislature.
So is it a case of we might be seeing some change in the lobbying laws, but not the wholesale thing that advocates had been seeking? Would we be seeing that business of doing away with the goodwill exemption and having people have to report on a monthly basis? Is that what might get through?
That's what might get through, but even it's hard to say because nobody will go on record in support of steak dinners for legislators. You know, nobody's going to vote against this. But there are an awful lot of people, the big money lobbyists, who are working very hard against this behind closed doors. They don't want to see this happen because, you know, that money is their access. The folks who work for nonprofits and smaller advocacy groups are very excited about this because they don't have the money to take people to Hawaii or to take people to Sullivan's for dinner, for that matter. So they're excited about the possibility of having all this stuff out on the record so that people can see who is buying their legislator dinner.
In other words, the access would be closer to a level playing field there. If you don't have as much money to take people places.
Right, exactly. Exactly. And maybe they couldn't. I mean, this bill would still allow people to take your legislator to dinner, but at least you'd be able to look it up and find out who he's going to dinner with.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And also there is a vote, I understand, on the death penalty moratorium coming up.
Well, there was supposed to be. It's on the calendar for today. And this is a bill that has been gone through some significant changes in the last couple of months. Initially, it was proposed to be a two-year moratorium, a freeze on executions while they studied some of the problems that data and study after study have shown exist in the death penalty system. That is that the race of the victim matters a lot as to whether or not you get life or you are sentenced to be executed. Where it happens matters a lot. The kind of money that you have to buy a good lawyer matters a great deal. So what they wanted to do was stop executing people for 2 years and look at this. That's not going to happen because there aren't the votes in the House among the conservative Democrats to back that up. So what they did is they changed it and said, well, let's put a study in place and then let's allow people whose death row cases might be affected by the study to apply for a stay from a judge. And it looked like that may be the version that could fly, but it was just literally 10 minutes ago I heard that it's going to be pulled off the calendar, which means that they still don't have enough votes for it. So it's hard to say at this point what it's going to take to get that study through.
So that particular case would be if there are people who are on death row and about to be executed, if their time is drawing nigh, that they could apply for this stay and say that, you know, their case needs to be studied some more. It sounds like it's another level of appeal that they could put there.
It is, and that's a big part of the controversy and part of the reason why the bill is having a hard time getting enough support is because a lot of the more conservative members of the caucus are saying what we're doing is we're giving superior court judges the right to stay a case that the Supreme Court has refused to stay. So you're giving a superior court judge, a lower judge in effect, the right to overrule the Supreme Court. So the legal folks are not happy about that. And the other end of the bargain is that if you read this the right way, just about any case on death row could maybe be made to apply for this, you know, because there are very few cases in which there isn't some racial, economic, social, or geographic factor that you could argue had to do with the sentencing to death. So I think people are also concerned about the wideness of this as it actually will be used in application.
There has been a lot of testimony in favor of it and against it, too, but there have been some high-profile people in favor of that. Alan Gale, who had been on death row and then had a second trial at which he was found not guilty, has been testifying before the legislature. Is there any more room in the coming days there for some more testimony, or is all that over with and it's just a matter of the legislators themselves haggling over the details on it?
Well, they can always send it back to committee, which is what they did before. because it was supposed to be up on the floor back in April, and they pulled it and sent it back to committee and did more work on it and more testimony. But I think at this point, especially with the budget drawing nigh and with other big issues still on the agenda, like lobbying reform and the lottery, not to mention the budget, it's hard to say whether or not this is going to go back or whether they're just going to try it for this year and just see what happens with it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You mentioned the lottery. Where are things on that right now?
The governor wants it. The House says they want it. The Senate says they want it. But nobody's sure exactly how to do it. And that's the problem. As you may remember, it barely passed the House last time. And so they don't want to take it back through the House again if they can help it, because it may not make it this time. But in the meantime, they do have to figure out how to spend that money. So those provisions for how to spend it need to be part of the budget, so that they can, you know, because it's part of how the state balances its books. So part of the issue right now that's holding up the budget is whether or not there should be provisions for the lottery money in it, or whether it should be split out as a separate bill. If they put it in the budget, it's got a much better chance of passing, probably. But mm-hmm. There's a lot of people who say, don't make me vote for a budget with a lottery in it, because I have a moral problem with that. And these people are across the spectrum, from conservative Republicans to liberal Democrats. It's an odd bedfellows kind of coalition, but it has enough votes to stop a budget if it has a lottery in it.
That's an interesting approach, because of the gambit in the Senate had been to just include it in their budget and not take an up or down vote on whether to have a lottery, right? And now it might, that would seem to cut both ways then. It could draw opposition, too, in the main. Do you think it could be that big of an issue and it could get people to vote against it then?
It certainly could. We'll have to wait and see, I guess.
Okay. Laura Leslie, thank you for being with us today.
Thanks.
Laura Leslie is North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC's Capitol reporter. Just ahead on the state of things, a UNC Greensboro professor on his new book, The Last Generation, about young Virginians just before the Civil War. And later in the program, female wrestling in its early days, the 1940s and 50s. Support for the state of things comes from listeners who support North Carolina Public Radio, WUNC.